You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast, made possible by the generosity of Tom Evans and the art and science of lightbulb moments.
Yes, this is the Big Village Radio Show, and that last hour, most of it was taken up by the voice of Steve Judd, the caustic astrologer, the kick astrologer, as I call him, and his lecture that he gave to us here at Sealhane in Devon in the UK last Thursday for our inaugural Big Village Talk. Now, we have another very special guest here on the Big Village Radio Show in this the Moments of Light section. I just found something just now that I wanted to share with you that I seem to have misplaced about something to do with village life, because this is the Big Village Radio Show, and that's based on the fact that we think it takes a village to raise a child. In fact, we think it takes a village to raise and care for most beings, human beings. Oh, here it is. Let me just welcome Tom back onto the air. Tom, hi. Did you enjoy Steve Judd there?
Oh, I could listen to that for another hour.
You could do that if you go to the barefootbroadcast.com. There's a link to it. If you want to hear more about Ceres Investor, I know we've got Whitney Foray waiting, so we don't want to keep her waiting too much longer. But may I just share with you, the three most important occupations in my considered view are neither governing, nor engineering, nor business and money-making. The most important occupations are educating, homemaking, and farming. The first because it is the educators of mankind who either humanize or fail to humanize both man and society. The second is the homemaker. The second because it creates the environment in which the young are either rightly or wrongly prepared for living, like normal human beings. And the third because it encourages collaboration with Mother Nature, for man's cooperation with the living soil, the living plants and the living animals of the earth. Use man interchangeably, universally there, of course. That's the words of Ralph Borsodi on the education of the whole man, which probably these days, if it was published, would be called the education of the whole human. Tom Evans, over to you, because we're going to talk to Whitney Foray, who we have on the line live from America now. Hi, Whitney. How are you?
I'm great. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Whitney.
Hi, Tom.
Well done. The technology works. We sorted out the time zones and then clicked into place. How good is that?
Wonderful.
It's great. It's great. We were able to do our math correctly.
Brilliant. Lovely to hear you, Whitney. I'm going to sit back and become producer now and hand over to Tom, Wizard of Lightbulb Moments Evans, as we move into the Moments of Light segment of the Big Village Radio Show here on the Barefoot Broadcast. Over to you, Tom.
Thank you so much, Carl. And hello again, formally, Whitney. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Of course.
Or is it this afternoon for you?
Yeah, it's noon here, so we're in full swing here.
And how's the weather over there?
It's lovely. So I'm in my new home in northeastern Oregon, and it's gorgeous. It's probably 70 degrees. And I love that quote that Carl just shared with us because I'm an art teacher, and I have three children, and am also living on a ranch and very in touch with Mother Nature, and have been really enjoying the benefits of that the last couple of months since our big move.
So you're educating, you're home building, and you're farming.
I am.
That sounds great. Well, listen, I want to talk about this wonderful work that you're doing, Whitney. And also, we're going to plan to do a bit of on-air live doodling a bit later. Is that right?
Yes, of course.
So we'll just warn everyone that's listening just now to go and make sure you've got some scrap paper and some coloured pens and pencils or whatever you want to draw with, and we'll come back to that a bit later on. But listen, I want to obviously want to talk about the work you do, the wonderful work you do, but I want to take you back to Nashville when you were selling books door to door.
Yes.
And
it
that
all
was what, 94, yeah. It's the Moments of Light Show. When did you have a light bulb moment that got you doing what you're doing now?
You're right. I had a complete light bulb moment, and right up until the light bulb moment, I thought that that was, you know, kind of a Cinderella story, you know, that it wouldn't happen for me. And I was reading a fabulous book called Zen and the Art of Making a Living by Lawrence G. Bolt, and in it, he quoted Nietzsche as saying, art is the proper task of life. And then he said after that that most of you will, you know, think that this quote has nothing to do with you, but this book will insist throughout that unless you adopt an artist mentality, you will not be able to create the life that you desire. And it had nothing to do for him with painting on a canvas, but it had everything to do with taking responsibility for the role we play as creators of our life. And he really did insist throughout the book that that was the key. And so here I am selling books door to door, coming up with a million ideas a day of what I was supposed to do with my life. And during the course of reading that book, what struck me was that I completely believed what he was saying about developing an artist mentality. I had not been aware of anywhere that helped people to develop this artist mentality. I had been a wannabe artist my entire life. I had been told by an art teacher when I was 9 that I had a great eye for color and balance, but drawing wasn't my thing, so I never even really tried. Was just jealous of all my artistic friends. You know, I figured I hadn't inherited that gene. And so I had, you know, very fearfully attempted to sign up for art classes and inevitably would miss the registration deadline or not have the prerequisites that was required to take a class that I wanted. And I knew after graduating from college and selling books door to door that the real world was much more like a blank canvas than a multiple choice test, right? So the light bulb moment was that I was supposed to create an environment where people could go to work out their right brain muscle using artist materials so that they could go back out into their life and create the change they wanted. That light bulb moment was December of 1994. So a year and 5 months later, I opened the Creative Fitness Center in Nashville, Tennessee, that was exactly that. And to the naked eye, it appeared just like an art center. People came in and took art classes. But true to my intention, my adult students would come back in, you know, showing up for art class, walking in, and they'd say, Whitney, guess what I did? I've been meaning to do it forever, and I finally did it. And it was everything from, you know, whether it was, you know, painting their house a different color to changing careers to moving altogether to a totally different location. It didn't matter what change it was, but it was something that they had thought about, that they had really desired to do, but previously because they were only really tapped into that left brain voice that is fear-based, they would stop and not take the action that was needed to create that change. And because they started to make art and learn how to overcome that fear of making a mistake or doing it wrong on the canvas or the hunk of clay, that same mental muscle was engaged when they came up with the idea, and those same thoughts of, oh, but it might not work out or I might not do it perfectly was balanced by the side of them that was like, well, just do this. Just do this one first step, and one thing would lead to another. And, you know, many of my clients have created dramatic change in their life. Others have created more subtle change, but it's all relative, right? It's exactly what they needed and desired, and it's so rewarding, such a gift to be doing this work, and it all comes down to making your mark. For me, with my work, the tool that we use is the art making, and it's very accessible to everybody, so that is the exciting part.
Wow. So the transformation then, so you get these people and teaching them some art, and basically you were not trained as an artist. This is just the light bulb moment drove you down this line. And you get these people to use their right brain, start making art, making their mark. And then was it a byproduct, a happenstance product where people were actually making transformations in their life as well?
Well, see, because originally when I first opened, like you said, I had no formal art training. This was all a light bulb moment. So I was really learning right along with everybody else, right? And so I was, you know, not talking to people about working out their right brain muscle necessarily. I wasn't talking about, you know, quantum physics like we can talk about today. You know, the world was a lot different back in 1996. And so I was really simply providing the opportunity for them to make art. And so because of my intention and, you know, the space that I created, the energy that was there, people who were normally fearful or, you know, hesitant to sign up for an art class found themselves doing so because it felt safe, you know, because I was there saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing either, but this is fun, and look what I just painted, and, you know, all you have to do is try. And I wasn't teaching classes originally. It was about 2 years into it where I started teaching more because I, you know, was living at this art center. So I was learning, talk about quantum learning, you know, when you own the art center and you have everything in the world to learn. I mean, I was learning a ton every day. And what I began to realize is that I was a better coach at teaching people art who were coming in for the first time as total beginners. I was closer to being a beginner because I had just been like them, you know. And so a lot of my art instructors who were immensely talented weren't as tapped into how my clients were feeling. And so I started taking over and teaching more of the painting classes specifically. And it was fabulous. There's nothing like watching people's eyes get what I call that kind of bug-eyed moment where they open their eyes so wide and they're like, I never thought I could do this, and I'm doing it. And what happens physiologically is our minds respond just like muscles. I found a quote from Thomas Edison just a couple years ago where he said that the mind responds just like a set of muscles if one will only take the pains to train the mind to think. So what happened is just like, you know, when we go to the gym and you lift weights, you're able to build and lift heavier weights as you spend more time. And the same thing with your mental muscle, that the more people painted and drew and overcame the fear of the blank canvas or the blank piece of paper, that same mental muscle is what was engaged and what was stronger when they thought of like, oh, you know, I'd really love to do it, or they had their own light bulb moments. And instead of that light bulb moment just kind of dimming out and never going anywhere, they now had the strength and the ability to take action. Just like how they learned to take action on the canvas or the paper, they learned how to take action in their lives. And it's a series, as we all know, it's a series of very small steps that lead to amazing change. Just like, you know, meeting a fork in the road. At first, the decision to go right or left leads to very different results. You know, you're just a couple feet away from the other, but down the road, they lead to dramatically different places. So what my students learned is how to take action. They learned it first in the art center with the art materials, and then they learned it out in their lives. And so this connection between art making and creating the life we want is what I've been discovering this last, you know, 15 years now, and the power that's there. And, you know, what's happened is just that art has been put up on this pedestal, and in our very, you know, capitalistic, product-oriented world, we've been taught that unless we can make something that someone would buy, we shouldn't even bother, right? There's no value in it unless it could be sold for money. And so what we've ended up doing is we've eliminated this super valuable medium that we have to connect to an infinite part of our mind, to a totally different level of consciousness, which is, you know, why you and I love talking to each other, because this is what it's all about right now, is creating change. It's about figuring out how we can live and be differently, better, and it's going to look differently than the world's looked for the past, you know, 100 years. But that doesn't mean that it can't look different or that it hasn't looked different. You know, as human beings, we've created art longer than we've had a written language or a monetary system. So we've been artists since the beginning, and it's kind of like we've just forgotten the real power and the real meaning behind the art making. And that's what, with my book and Creatively Fit, what we're reminding people of. And it's thrilling. People get very excited, and it's fun to see the change they create in their life. I never get an email, you know, Tom, from anyone saying, you know, guess what, I'm getting really good at painting still lifes, or I'm getting really good at, you know, painting portraits. That may be in the second or third paragraph, but what they email me with is what they've learned as a result and the changes they're making. Because the creative process, on top of simply physiologically accessing that part of our mind and strengthening that mental muscle, the creative process also mirrors the process that we need to take to create the change we want. And what I've found when I'm teaching my students, especially in my painting programs, retreats and things, is that the parts of the painting process where they meet with the resistance, you know, where it gets tricky or hard, or, you know, they start getting really frustrated or, see, I'm not really good at this, it's the exact part of the process when they're trying to create the change in the life they want that they get, you know, they meet an obstacle. And sometimes that can stop them. And so what's exciting is, again, they can work through it in the creative process with the artist materials and then get stronger and better at working through it in their lives. So that's where the art making can really lead to these, you know, personal renaissances where people really really start doing things differently and have access to a greater well of energy that can propel them forward instead of staying stuck, you know? So
that's incredible, I had exactly the same thing when writers were coming to me with writer's block, where the resistance came up. Exactly. They were even writing about this, the very thing that was causing the block, and you could always find the corresponding life block for the writer's block, you know, either time management or resistance, or they're writing about some sort of fear, even if it was in metaphor. So you like me have found this wonderful spin-off, if you like, from the core business and core idea. Do you formalize that in the training, or is it just fall out naturally?
Well, I mean, it's been formalized over the years. I mean, by nature, I like to let things evolve. You know, I don't feel a need to always have, you know, step one through step five completely outlined, but it has been refined. You know, my book, The Artist Within, is organized in such a way that that people can, whether they're working through it from beginning to end or using the life design diagnostic and working through the principles of design, so there can be a very specific framework, because a lot of people really like that, the structure.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on who you're working with, you know. Or they can, with the awareness of why they're making art, you know, that they're, while we all want to end up with a picture that we would love to hang on the wall and share with our friends, people working with me understand that the value is in the process. And so just with the simple awareness of, okay, I'm going to, you know, take this step by step, I'm going to stay present, and I am going to look for the lessons. You know, I'm going to look for where I meet the resistance, and then work through that. So, you know, we can break it down either way, but there does seem to be, you know, there are some major recurring themes, and it's, you know, I'm still learning every day, right? New applications. Every time I talk to someone who's had different experiences, you learn something new about the process. And you know, there's so many of us involved in this the same work, like you said, with writers, you know, I mean, that's the creative process as well. And it's so helpful, right, to have someone else who can be objective about your work, say, hey, have you thought of it this way, you know? You know, I've used, with the painting process, you know, I've broken down the painting process into the different steps and compared them to the different steps of any creative process. That's the most recent blog post that's up right now, is Everything I Needed to Know I Learned Painting. So that breaks that down, for example, so we can talk about, you know, when you start a painting, you have to just put the paint on the canvas, just kind of lay the foundational layer, just like if you want to create any kind of change in your life, what is the change you want to create? You know, you start, you decide what that is, and then you start taking action. It may not be the most the absolute correct action, because most of us can get stuck there, you know, trying to figure out the perfect first step. So that foundational layer is, you know, calling people, you know, Googling things, signing up for classes, gathering information without judgment or without eliminating anything or saying, oh, that's crazy. You know, it's putting it down. So I tell my students in the painting process, first we have to get rid of the blank canvas. I don't want you thinking about which color is the right color or if you're doing it wrong. We're just taking the action to start. And that's the same in the creative process, you know. In the creative problem-solving community, they talk about divergent thinking and convergent thinking. So this is these are the people who invented the term brainstorming. And so it's the classic, like, throw all the different ideas out on the table. Don't criticize. Don't judge. Don't think that'll never work. We don't have enough money. Throw all the ideas out there. So that's the same when we're painting, is we just put whatever color you have down, and now you've started. Now you've got something. That's usually the hardest part for people, is just getting started. But once you realize that to get started moving towards whatever it is, whether it's a finished painting or, you know, your ideal life, that you can take steps without worrying about if it's the perfect right one, but just start moving in that direction. And so, you know, you keep going with that, and the painting process, it's amazing. I was just talking with one of my coaches the other day, so we have Creatively Fit Certified Coaches, and she just graduated from the training and works in the schools back in Nashville and wants to bring the Creatively Fit program into the schools. And so I was coaching her through the same thing, you know, what are the foundational steps you can do? Well, she has contacts in the schools that she can set up a meeting with and just say, hey, here's what I want to do. What would your advice be? You know, so it's kind of like I was able to show her those first steps that she can take that are simple, that, you know, don't require a huge amount of work or prep, that are right there for her. But once she does that, the next step will be revealed. You know, so this is where the right brain thinking balances the left brain thinking. The left brain wants to know exactly what the results are going to be. And the right brain is completely comfortable with the unknown because it has no fear. So it's all about learning that balance.
Fabulous. So I was going to say this really naturally really good in schools as well as it'd be good for people in their later years as well, I would imagine, keep the old brain box going.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, you know, one of the most amazing experiences I've had as an example of how this work and this knowledge is everywhere right now is I was listening to the classic book Mindfulness by Ellen Langer. And, you know, she's talking about the studies she's done in the retirement communities and how, you know, the expectations that, for example, that the elderly can't remember as well were completely contradicted when they asked the elderly people to remember specific things. They found that they could remember. So it was this unmindfulness, this expectation that these people were not going to be able to remember things that created that in them. And so likewise, you could turn it around and be more mindful of remembering things and they would remember things. So anyway, I'm listening to this book and I'm saying, well, that's what Creatively Fit does. That's what the creativity workouts do, is they create mindfulness. They bring you present, and they give you a new objectivity to look at the world around you, and you can see where you want to create the change, and now you have the tools and the mindset, the awareness, to be able to create the change. And in the process of looking on Ellen's site, I found that she had written the book, which I also had, called On Becoming an Artist. And in that book, she says how during her mindfulness research, she found that creativity and mindfulness are natural partners, and she started to paint.
Wonderful.
So, you know, she sells her work, I believe, in England and some galleries in England and also on the East Coast, probably all over the country. And she had no formal art training either. But this key connection between art making and accessing new parts of our mind and reaching new levels of consciousness and creating an atmosphere physiologically where we can look objectively at what needs to be changed, what isn't working, and then take the steps to make that change. That's, for me, what gets me so passionate about my work is that right now at this point in time-space history, you know, we need to create some change. The way things have traditionally been done, you know, are there's time for a little bit of a change in that. And so we need people confidently moving forward who can look at a situation, whether it's a blank canvas or, you know, their school system or their community, you know, their country, and say, okay, we can do this differently. And let's take the steps, you know, not, oh, it's never been done that way before. It'll never work. That's not going to get us anywhere, you know. So that's why, for me, and everything that I do is so exciting, because it's bigger than just making an art piece. It's about the art that is our lives and our continual evolution and our ability to participate in that, that is so exciting. And that's what gets my clients so excited, is that they really open up to all the potential all around them. You know, Deepak Chopra talks about the law of pure potentiality that's surrounding us all the time. And so many of us are overwhelmed with all the limitations and all the I can'ts, you know, the hopelessness, and we need to tap into the possibilities, to the potential. And it's within us, and it's not a left brain thing, right? Because your left brain is physiologically responsible for what is already known. That's what it does. And the right brain is responsible for learning anything new. So we've got to get our whole brain, which I know you talk about all the time, engaged, and understand that, you know, when we feel fear, that's a resistance to change, and that's a sign that you're in the right place, that you're going the right direction. Because if there's not a certain amount of fear or hesitancy, then you're not going into that new area. You're not learning new things. And so it's all how you look at it, right?
Absolutely. No. So we've got one of your students, if you're going to call that, or practitioners in the chat room, but we're just coming up to the half-hour show jungle time, and we'll come right back and speak to Christine.
Excellent.
You're listening to the Barefoot Broadcast, made possible by the generosity of Tom Evans and the art and science of Lightbulb Moments.
So hello everybody, I'm Tom Evans, I'm speaking to Whitney Parade this evening, or this lunchtime if you're in America, or that bit of America, about how we can, by switching both sides of our brain and engaging with both sides of our brain, we can achieve amazing things. And I love this whole concept, Whitney, that, you know, you started out with a light bulb moment of people doing art and making marks, and all these wonderful spin-offs come in different parts of their lives. And I believe we've got Christine who's called in, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Hi, Christine, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
And say hi to Whitney.
Hi, Whitney.
Hi, Christine. I'm great.
So tell me, how did you meet Christine, and what transformations and transitions have you made in your life as a result of doing all this?
Yeah, well, so Christine contacted me like a year ago, last January or something, anyway, a couple years ago, and she is the brilliant author of a book called Ignite the Genius Within, and my book is The Artist Within, and her book uses imagery and words to and bilateral sound to trigger whole brain thinking. And so we had tons to talk about right away, and we ended up collaborating and teaching a retreat together at the Esalen Institute this past April in Big Sur, California. And we took the weekend and merged my painting process and her amazing insight and into quantum physics and bilateral sound to really open people up to the creative genius within. And so I asked Christine to join us on the show because she also created her first painting.
Yes.
And how was that process for you then, Christine?
Oh, it was fascinating, and I didn't believe it for a second when she said I could paint something. I just, you know, I have not had good experiences with that form of any kind of artistic expression. So, but I was amazed. I ended up painting a horse that actually looked like a horse. And not only that, but it's got beautiful colors in it and gold flecks and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm really, really proud of it. And I didn't think it was possible.
And obviously your work plays nicely into the work that Whitney's doing. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, well, I am a trauma therapist in New York City, and I use a couple of very amazing mind-body therapy, trauma therapy techniques. One is called EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, and the other is called brain spotting. And both of them are based on what we know now about the brain, which is that when you stimulate the body right-left in any way, it gets the two hemispheres talking. And so any kind of right-left movement of the body, including eye movements back and forth, or sound that goes from right to left, back and forth, or even tapping or walking, part of the reason why we feel so much better and think of things, great things, when we're walking is because we're bilaterally stimulating our body. So it gets the two hemispheres talking, and then that opens up the whole brain, the deep brain, which is where creativity lives. And so it was amazing how much Whitney and I had in common, even though we were coming at it from a different angle. And obviously, as are you, and it's all making the creative moments more accessible.
You know, that's music to my ears, and it's not just what you and Whitney's got in common, but what the three of us have got in common. I start all of my workshops with a bit of lazy eye movements and nostril breathing and cross crawling, and that's kind of how it kicks everything off. And we'll be doing that in Devon tomorrow night with wonderful Carl Munton. So everyone will be standing up in the venue and wiggling their stuff around, basically.
Well, it's amazing. It used to feel like the creative moment was completely not manageable. It just came out of the blue and you couldn't control it. And that's simply not true anymore, as you know, and as Whitney knows. There are things we can do to make it happen.
And what's good about these processes too, isn't it, is because they're all healthy kind of things to do too. You know, you get such great well-being from doing them. And if you just start every day just by a bit of nostril breathing or a bit of a walk, there's just no harm to it all.
That's right. It's all really, really good for you.
So, Christine, just give us some details about where we can get hold of you, because we've got Nancy in LA has also called in. I want to speak to, and this hour, we need about 2 hours for this show, I think.
Well, actually, you can go to my website, which is www.getignitedsite.com, S-I-T-E, getignitedsite.com, and there you can download a free bilateral soundtrack that you can experiment with at home, as long as you're able to download and use headphones with the soundtrack. You can experiment yourself with doing Whitney's program and using the soundtrack at the same time.
Fabulous. And what's the plan for both of you moving forward? We've got more collaborations in the offing.
Yeah, I think we hope to teach more retreats together, and we're talking later today about some new media that we might be able to collaborate on to reach more people visually, which will be exciting. So, yeah, certainly stay tuned.
So it's the getignitedsite.com.
Yeah, getignitedsite.com. Thank you so much for mentioning that. Yes.
I'll put that in the chat room. And have we got Nancy on the line now?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
So
I just
Whitney,
wanted to tell you that I connected with Whitney because I saw an owl drawing on my Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought she was brilliant. And then now, after having correspondence with her and working with her on a project, I think she is brilliant.
And what was that project?
What?
Well, and what was that project?
I'm working on something right now, which is called the Spirited Woman 2012 Directory, Resources for an Inspired Life. And it's all about, it's by invitation only, and it's about spirited women changing the world, one spirited woman step at a time. And I knew nothing about Whitney, but I saw this all, and I said, I don't know what it is about this person, this woman. I have got to contact her. And I did, and the rest is history, and I will tell you that she's got the gift.
Fantastic.
Well, so the owl painting I had posted because I was, throwing out to people and asking them, is there an image or a symbol or, you know, an animal, something that keeps catching your eye, you know, something that you notice everywhere, and that there's a reason for that, that is, you know, your right brain, your spirit trying to communicate. Tom, I listened to your show with June Eleni Lane, and, she talked about how our right brain doesn't have a language. It doesn't speak to us verbally, and it does use imagery to speak to us. And so, for me, I've been painting owls for, like, the last 8 months, and it's really, I could just paint owls. And you look at the symbolism behind owls, it's about illumination and about respecting and valuing our inner light, that the owl can see things that other people can't. And that's, that's the goal of my work right now. And I created this amazingly gorgeous owl for a client. It was a commission, and that's the image I shared on Nancy's wall. She has an incredible website and Facebook page. It's the Spirited Woman, and for me, you know, connecting to spirit is the same as connecting to your right brain. And when you do so, you know, you mentioned with Christine that this work is all, it's all healthy. You know, I mean, your spirit is not afraid of change. It is connected to an infinite source of potential and possibility. It does not stress out. You know, your spirit is like, honey, we'll be here now, we'll be here later, like, we've got all eternity to work on this, you know, and so Nancy's got a wonderful mission that she's a part of, and I'm so happy to have connected with her, and it was thanks to this imagery, you know, that images can really communicate something to you, which, you know, it leads into what we're going to encourage people to do with us if everyone can be creatively brave and just grab a piece of blank paper, any kind of marking utensil. You'll be able to kind of test this right now and see what we mean. But so that's the story behind that. The owl spoke to Nancy, and it was exciting.
And just very, very briefly, one of the reasons why it did was because starting in March of this year, an actual hawk flew onto my balcony and pretty much changed my life. So it was a spiritual awakening for me, and I was right there with Whitney in terms of perceiving the sign. That happened to be my sign. The hawk happened to be my sign. But then when I saw mm-hmm. the owl, I realized that it was another spiritual perception from another animal, and one that we cannot ignore. And I think when you open up to that right-left brain side, you realize that there are signs all around you mm-hmm. that are there for you to be spiritually elevated by. And so, I couldn't hear you.
Recently.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, the connection isn't really good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't hear what you said, but I'm sure it was wonderful.
I'm amazed that we're actually having this conversation at the moment anyway. So isn't technology wonderful? But Whitney, you've got some plans for us tonight to switch our right brains on, is that right?
Right. So one of the first exercises, one of the first creativity workouts in my book, The Artist Within, is called the scribble drawing. And a real important element in all of these creativity workouts is that they are so simple and so easy that your left brain, which is, like I mentioned, fear-based, but it's also your ego, cannot find any good reason whatsoever to be doing this. So it has to check out, in other words. So the scribble drawing is one of these. Kids do these very, very easily, right, because they're still so whole brain. And the scribble drawing is, of all the exercises in my book, probably the one that I end up talking to my clients and my coaches about the most, because it is so simple and accessible and leads to such amazing insights. It's kind of like if you can, you know, we all are familiar with like the cloud game, looking up in the clouds and looking for what you see. And so what the scribble drawing does, again, the scribble is what makes your left brain say, what in the world are you doing? You've got all these other much more important things to do. So it disengages your left brain. And then once you scribble, you look to see what you see, if anything, if it makes you think of anything. And it can make you think of anything. It can make you think of a bowl of porridge or a teddy bear or a face or a train or a landscape, anything. And in that imagery, there is a message from your right brain, from your artist within, from spirit. And so literally, if you have a piece of paper now, all you need to do is put it down in the middle of the paper, close your eyes, and scribble. 1, 2, 3, scribble, stop. Like,
let's
it's that quick.
Let's
it's
do it
that
right now.
Quick. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, good. So now look at your scribble, and without judging or criticizing or weeding anything out, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
Shall I do me because I'm on microphone?
Yeah,
so what I've done is I've done a scribble, and I didn't realize this at all, but lots of things interleaved at the moment and lots of convolutions kind of wrapped up together, but
okay.
Then a clear path out over the next 2 or 3 days is going to be so clear and so direct that it just is amazing.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Awesome. So what it does is, again, you know, it's like June said, your right brain does not speak logically to you. It doesn't speak with words. It speaks with images and your intuition. And so if you want new insight into anything, you can use this very simple scribble drawing to change the way you're thinking, access that right brain, and gain a whole new insight into what you're doing. I've had, you know, numerous moments like this. When I was driving out cross-country for this big move that my family and I just made, we moved from urban Nashville, Tennessee, to this ranch in Oregon in this gorgeous county where there's not even a traffic light. And so the whole way in the car, you know, I've got this, like, roller coaster of thoughts and emotions going through me. Like, I'm so excited for this move, but wondering, how is this all going to pan out? What's it really going to look like? Because I'm, you know, moving into the total unknown. And so I did a scribble drawing, and it looked like a face. And so I kept adding to the face, and I looked at it at the end, and I'm like, this looks really disjointed. Like, it's all over the place. And then the words that came to me is that it's a work in progress. And then I realized I am a work in progress. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't need to know exactly, you know, what's going to happen around the bend or what's coming next. And that took all the pressure off. And I went from, you know, having this anxiety that I wasn't even really aware of to completely letting myself off the hook. So so this kind of visual stimulation or just triggering that right brain can lead to real simple thoughts, but they're all rooted in truth, and they're there to align you with your center, with your true self, put things into perspective. You know, half the time we're worried and anxious about things that we don't have to be worried and anxious about, right? It's just, it's all part of the process. And so, so the scribble drawing is an amazing tool, and I've had, you know, so many people tell me how it has changed their life, because now when they're feeling anxious or stressed, they do a scribble drawing. It takes like 3 minutes. Usually I advise people, once they do the drawing, to just write down the first 5 words that come to mind. And then even if you want to keep going, just do start stream of consciousness writing. You know, so for writers, this is an amazing tool. There's really no reason to ever experience writer's block, right? Writer's block is just you're in your left brain. You just need to get in your right brain. So a very unassuming yet powerful exercise. And I know, Tom, you got to do some of the 30-day doodle challenge that one of our Creatively Fit coaches, Melissa McLean, started and is continuing with the doodles. She was going to join us today. I don't know if she's on a line anywhere, but that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I did cheat a little bit and use an iPad, I must admit, but that was still kind of cool.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, you're in lovely Oregon, in this sort of educating, farming, and homemaking environment, but also your work is going global, isn't it? So if someone wants to get involved with all these programs, obviously you run the retreats and that sort of stuff, but if people can't actually turn up and they're somewhere else on the planet, then they can work with you. And also I want to explore a little bit about the coaching program. The reason for that is that I was speaking to someone at 5 o'clock tonight who came on a workshop of mine last week, and it sounds like she would be a perfect UK-based Creatively Fit coach. So can you sort of talk us through how the program works, how people can work with you globally?
Sure. Well, so at creativelyfit.com, we have a 3-step Creatively Fit program that is an entirely online experience between very visual, colorful email newsletters and course content and our online community. People can start with the Meet Your Artist Within program, which is when they're getting to know the right and left hemispheres, the characteristics and skill sets of both, the strengths and weaknesses of both. And they have the creativity workouts that are appropriately simple and easy to go along with. And then the second part of the online program is the Painting Made Easy. So first people are taught to become comfortable making their mark on paper. Then in step 2 of the Creatively Fit program, we learn to make our mark on the canvas in full color. And so anyone who's ever even had an inclination to paint but thought that they couldn't, just like I was, can learn through this Painting Made Easy program and also learn, again, how the process can act like a mirror, and how the creative process of painting is, in essence, a reflection of the creative process of living our lives and creating change. And then the last part of the Creatively Fit program is an experience that I call the ultimate creative challenge. It's called the Creatively Fit Painting Marathon. So this is just like signing up to run a marathon that so many people do these days. You know, they want to do it because they want a challenge. They want the accountability. You know, they want the self-discipline that comes with having this goal. And in Nashville, the marathon is this tremendously widespread occasion where people who aren't even runners are participating. And so I created a painting marathon where instead of running 26 miles, we're painting 26 paintings. And
wow.
We do it where you're painting over and over the same canvas. So you just have one canvas and you paint over and over it. So you totally disengage the ego, because just as you start thinking, oh, this painting isn't good, it's like, but I'm going to paint right over it. So that leads to tremendous breakthroughs, and there's tons of information in the marathon. With each mile, I share different insights into all the kinds of things that I know you love to talk about whole brain thinking and about quantum physics and about science and nature and spirit and how they're all connected. And so people can sign up for those three programs, and it will completely change your perspective on everything and empower you to create the change you want. So so in true, you know, right brain fashion, just last summer I had a woman from Nigeria email me, Vivian. She had just found me online searching for creative women's empowerment and sent me this incredibly touching email about how she really felt that the Creatively Fit program could help women in Africa. And she asked if I had an African branch, you know, and the short story is that she has ended up becoming my African branch. And I talked to her on the phone, you know, right away and explained to her that while I could not come to Nigeria right away, that I could bundle my online programs together and teach her everything she needed to know to be able to lead Creatively Fit programs in Nigeria, because it is so simple. Like I mentioned, you know, it has to be simple to disengage that left brain. And so my next thought, which is appropriate for your show, is that it takes a village, right? So this felt much bigger than just
wow.
me and Vivian together. So very quickly, 12 other women in the States literally appeared, and we're so excited to join the first coaching program and kind of be a advisory group or a support network for Vivian in Nigeria. So that was Project Nigeria, launched last September, and that was the first, you know, kind of Creatively Fit coaching certification. And then we had another group go through the program in January and March, and then another one starts this August 29th, and we now have Creatively Fit coaches in Croatia and Denmark and Nigeria and Canada, and there's a woman that's signing up from London for this August 29th group, and it's so exciting because it's women that are passionate about empowering and helping other people. They have varying degrees of artistic experience, but they all have a passion for our creative spirit, and so the Creatively Fit coaching certification is something that is growing and building, and is going to become, I know, a very you know, valuable resource for people as we learn more and more about the power of personal creativity. That Creatively Fit coaches are there to provide a system and a step by step and an accountability to help people increase their creative potential. And, you know, all the research is there to show that we can do that, right? And, you know, last July there was that article in Newsweek magazine called, it was the cover story, The Creativity Crisis, and how much research has gone into the role that creativity, our own personal creativity, plays in personal success, and how with regular creative activity we can increase our creative potential personally. So it's all there, and the Creatively Fit coaches are now a team, you know, an amazing team of people that that are here to help. So the certification program is about 3 months long. Like I said, one starts this August 29th. The next one probably won't start till January. And it's a really exciting transformational time. And everyone who goes through the program to become a certified coach, of course, has their own experience with the work, and I really encourage them to use the training as an opportunity for them to experience how the Creatively Fit program really empowers them and changes their world. And for me, it's just a total gift to work with these very heart-driven people who want to help others and are exploring and experimenting with this new medium, and taking art off the pedestal and making it fun and accessible for everybody.
Gotcha. Now, interesting point here, right? So last week I ran a workshop called the Whole Brain Workshop, and it was an open workshop. Nine women turned up, no blokes. You've been
yes.
talking, we've got Nancy on the line, we've got Christine on the line, and you've been talking
yes.
about all these women around the world. Is this
yes.
a women-only thing? Are women more... I guess they're suited for this sort of work, and where are all the blokes?
I know. Well, Tom, that's why I was so excited to connect with you, you know. I was like, yes, an enlightened man that I can talk to. And you know, it is not exclusive to women, But, you know, with all the, you know, business advice about, you know, finding your niche market, right, the easiest thing for me to do if I had to do something was to at least, you know, attempt to narrow it down by marketing to women, because you're right, the men are not a dominant force either in my retreats or, you know, online. And there are several, and they're amazing men. And at the Esalen retreat, we had several men. And it was lovely. So, no, men are more than welcome, and we're excited to have them. And, you know, I do think, you know, the right brain stuff comes easier for women, and it's simply because, you know, even developmentally, evolutionary speaking, you know, women were multitasking all the time, right, and were the caregivers and, you know, had to be focusing on many different levels at all times to take care of everything we're taking care of, and the men were out hunting and gathering. And that, you know, that the thousands and tens of hundreds of thousands of years that as human beings we live that way, you know, we forget that sometimes, but that still plays a major role. And I have, you know, great empathy for men. I remember reading an Oprah magazine article about how men were expected now to be, you know, like their wives' best friends and spiritual partners and, you know, all these things that their fathers didn't have to do, you know. And so so we're all learning together, but the goal that is inherent in the whole brain movement, where right and left brain thinking are both valued and balanced, is also the connection between the masculine and the feminine, and that inherent in our evolution will be a greater balance between the male and female on all levels of living as well. And I don't get into that too much. I've, you know, was raised by a very liberated woman and a very evolved man, and that was never an issue. But you know, there's certainly plenty of examples around the world of that dominant, ego-centered voice that, you know, that's been the dominant way, right? The left brain.
Absolutely. I love the idea of then just painting how it just loosens that off a little bit, because there's no space for ego. There's no space for ego to come in or all of this, is
there? Right.
I was doing
an event with Women for Women Foundation in New York at the National Women's Day, and I designed the banner, the peace banner that we marched across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was painting on it with Tim Gunn, and he was commenting on how much fun it was. And I said, you know, my vision is to get all the leaders, like at the UN, painting together before they go into negotiations. I go, how different would that look? And he's like, ooh, that is a good idea. So, you know, maybe someday we'll get the world leaders painting together and accessing their right brain first. Imagine what that painting would look like. It would be incredible.
Wouldn't that be great? And we'll get them all alternate nostril breathing too.
Yes.
We're getting banging
exactly.
some drums together, right? And
yes.
Oh, that'd be just fantastic. We can change the world, you know, just with a paintbrush and a canvas.
You know,
our hour is nearly gone there, Whitney. We need about 2 or 3 hours, isn't it? So it's been lovely to hear from you. I just want to check, you know, the Creatively Fit Certified Coach, is that something you need to turn up in person for, or is it remote, is it distance learning?
No, it's exclusively online and on the phone, and so you do not need to be, you can be anywhere in the world as long as you have computer access. We are planning, of course, and envisioning many amazing Creatively Fit coaching retreats. The first one will be at my ranch next summer, but those will all be optional, and we're excited to have our Creatively Fit coaching you know, conference in the UK and then in Croatia and Africa. So so that's all exciting things to look forward to. But for right now, you just need to be able to get online and get on the phone.
Fabulous. Now, Carl Munson, are you back online here?
I'm here, Tom. Whitney, that was so amazing. Thank you, Christine, as well, who's still there, I think, too, and Nancy as well. It's a wonderful show. Thank you very much, Tom and Whitney.
What are you thinking then about a big village retreat in Oregon then, Carl? Do you think this is a possibility for 2012?
I would love to go to Oregon. We'll have to set up some sort of twinning between Devon and Oregon, I think, won't we?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I've got a program in Seal Hain in Devon as well, I think, would work very, very well.
Well, I've started. I've got my squiggle, my doodle here, which looks like a reclining pregnant lady, one of whom I have in the room with me, and she's been busy making up vision boards and the visions of our future together. It's been an absolute hotbed of creativity in my bedroom. It usually is, of course, but extra specially so tonight.
Great. Well, listen, thanks ever so much. Thank you, Christine and Nancy, for coming on board. And I know I've been looking at your sites on Facebook and putting the links in the chat room as we've been speaking. It's been a great hour. We'll make, obviously, the... 10 seconds. So speak soon. Take care, everybody.
Sorry about that, Tom. Thank you so much to all of you. And look forward to your company again sometime soon, somehow. Bye for now.
Take care.